When Microsoft's chief executive emails his employees, he likes to quote writers, Oscar Wilde, Friedrich Nietzsche. This week, Nadella spoke to the Seattle Chamber of Commerce. According to the Puget Sound Business Journal, he said, "Literature captures the essence of the human condition. But now that he's busier and his attention span has come down, he has moved from literature to poetry, quote, because it's easier." Is poetry for short attention spans? And what can poems say to the American worker, especially at high-tech companies like Microsoft? Well, one of America's great poets happens to be in Seattle to speak at Town Hall, former poet laureate Robert Pinsky. Welcome back to KUOW.
Pleasure to be here, Bill.
Now, I realize that when Satya Nadella said poetry is easier, he may have been using a literary device called irony. But is that something you hear about poetry? It's short.
It may be something I think about poetry. I've always had a rather short attention span myself, and I often can't get through an episode of a crime show or a sitcom. I feel I already understand it, and I can't stay with it. And if I'm going to read a long novel, I have to know it's great. It has to be Bronte or Dickens, or I'm liable to Faulkner, Willa Cather. I'm liable to get tired of it, whereas I'm trying to think of really short poems. Here's a two-line poem by 19th century poet. On love, on grief, on every human thing, time sprinkles Lethe's water with his wing. And that's the kind of thing I like. Lethe is the mythological river of forgetting, of forgetfulness. And here we have such a compact, it does it partly with the F's and W's. Love, grief, every, it's got that, you know, upper teeth on the lower lip thing.
It's a short word, but it lingers.
Sprinkles Lethe's water with his wing. Doesn't engulf it. Doesn't inundate it. Poetry, in that sense, is easy. I can carry that around with me. And so poetry gives me mystery in a very compact, convenient form. Literature can mean something negative and heavy. And so I don't know what the gentleman had in mind, but I don't necessarily want to argue against it. I sometimes tease my poet friends with something I read by the tennis star of a couple of decades ago, Guillermo Viras.
Yes.
Guillermo Viras, in an interview that I read, said he writes every day. And the interviewer said, "That's, but you have so much practicing time, travel time, tournament. How can you do that?" He says, "Well, I do. I try to write something every single day. I write something every day, even if it's just a poem." I will give this Microsoft guy credit for being a little more sophisticated than the tennis player.
So what can you as a poet say to Microsoft and Amazon and techno-corporate America and multitasking America?
Poetry was extremely powerful long before those technologies or those companies existed. Poetry will be extremely powerful and extremely widespread, in a way ubiquitous culturally. Every culture has it. Every infant responds to it. Kids love hearing verse the way they like being sung to. And human intelligence evolved, it developed memory with arts like singing and dancing and poetry long before we had digital memory, these other forms of memories. So something that goes so deep into human intelligence perhaps deserves attention.
You are here for an event called Seattle's Favorite Poem. Tell me about Seattle's Favorite Poem.
Well, there have been favorite poem readings all over the country. We have these in schools. It's very simple. Read a poem aloud and say why it's important to you. The only rule is nothing by yourself or an immediate family member. So you hear unexpected things. You wouldn't guess that that particular politician loved Elizabeth Bishop's One Art. So you get surprises like that and at Seattle, too.
Seattle's Favorite Poem at Town Hall. Former poet laureate Robert Pinsky, welcome back to Seattle.
Pleasure to be here.